Michigan State University has received a $25 million grant that will address the state's critical shortage of direct care workers by establishing a direct care career center that aims to increase pathways into the field and transform the public view to one that recognizes the workforce as a respected profession. Claire Luz is executive director of MSU's Impart Alliance and a leading faculty researcher.
I started out as a direct care worker many, many years ago and always had an affinity for older adults and enjoyed their company and did some volunteer work around that, but also a passion for engaging in service work that addressed social injustices. And fast forward, I've been at MSU for about 25 years now. And I'm a gerontologist on faculty in the College of Osteopathic Medicine in the Department of Family and Community Medicine. I'm also the founding director of Impart Alliance. And most of my career has been dedicated to advocating on behalf of direct care workers. Yes, there is a very, very critical shortage of direct care workers right now in Michigan, actually across the entire United States. We have about 175,000, 180,000 direct care workers in Michigan right now. We need another 36,000 yesterday. And we don't want just warm bodies. We want people who are competent, who know what they're doing, who are kind, who are going to take good care and respect the people that they're providing support to. So it's imperative that we raise up this workforce. We know what the reasons for the shortage are. We know how to address them. And I hope I have a chance to tell you what our main strategies are. But that's what this grant is all about, is raising up the direct care workforce so that we can have a strong direct care workforce in Michigan. We know what the main primary reasons for the shortage are, you know, lack of competitive wages and benefits. That's a big one right there. And then lack of training, lack of credentials, lack of competency standards, which we've just changed in Michigan, which is fabulous. And I hope I have a chance to talk about all of the good things that are happening in Michigan these days around the direct care workforce. And establishing competency standards is one of them. So establishing career paths, career success resources, culture change. We're in a culture here where we don't place a lot of value on older adults or people with disabilities, and certainly not the people who provide the supports and services for them. So we have to change the whole culture. And I would argue that there are the roots of all of this, all of these things are symptoms to some deeper roots where we have to struggle with racial injustice and gender injustice and really change, root that out, you know, so address the roots, not just the symptoms. This is a systems level problem, and we are attacking it at the systems statewide level. So the grant is really unprecedented. It is a lot of money. I think everybody will agree on that. And it's a game changer, huge game changer. It's historical. We have never had this kind of support in the past. You know, things have been really, we've been gaining steam on policy reforms that are really critical to this workforce since about 2020. And we're building on the work of a lot of people that went before us. But this is going to allow us to really do the address the shortage in the ways that I just alluded to. It is out of this federal ARPA funds, and it's part of a home and community-based services spending plan. So the focus has to be on home and community-based direct care workers. This time around, we have other projects that try to lift up all direct care workers across all settings, all programs. But this particular grant is focused on direct care workers in home and community-based settings. And I should point out, too, that it is one of the restrictions is it has to go to non-wage advances. So we can't use it to increase people's wages. So what we're going to be doing is increasing professionalization efforts. And by that, I mean we've established these competency standards, and now we can wrap good training and credentialing around these standards. We are going to be ramping up developing career paths, both within direct care work, but also to other specialties, and career success resources, because you can't just train somebody and then drop them in a job and then expect them to succeed, especially if they are on the edge economically and they're not making competitive wages. So you have to identify what the barriers are, remove those barriers, and that's what we're calling career success resources. So it might be tuition assistance or assistance with child care or transportation or gas money. You know, you can have the best well-trained direct care worker in the world. It really doesn't matter if they're going to go to a $12 an hour job and have no car or gas money to get there. So we have to address all of the social services and community services that are necessary to make sure people succeed once they are competent direct care workers and have a job. We want them to stay. This is a problem not just in lack of numbers, but the turnover rate in this workforce is astronomical, extremely costly. And, you know, there are some figures that say in some parts of the direct care worker world, the turnover rate is over 80% annually. It's not sustainable. And, you know, for people who are concerned about the cost of training, the cost of credentialing, the cost of raising this workforce up, I will tell you that it is a very small investment compared to the cost of turnover. It's far cheaper than the turnover rates. It's far cheaper than 30-day rehospitalizations and emergency department visits and the revolving door at the hospitals and the nursing home admissions. This investment is good for everybody, including the caregivers, the families, the businesses, the economy, the health systems, the hospital systems. It's really good. It's good for non-healthcare businesses because they are losing productivity. They don't, I think, understand how many of their employees are actually family caregivers and need to adjust their schedules and go in early and leave late and job share and quit altogether because they can't juggle both. You know, this is an issue that affects every single one of us.
So what is the Direct Care Center, and is that a key piece of the grant?
Yes, absolutely. So in addition to everything I just mentioned, we have to keep advocating on behalf of the direct care workers. And as I said earlier, this is going to require systems level changes and policy reforms. You know, it can't be done in a Band-Aid approach way with a little training here and a little higher wages there. It just cannot be. One of the reasons we've been successful over the last few years is because we have established a deep network, a statewide network of key leaders, plus all of the stakeholders, direct care workers, people receiving services, the agencies involved, the regulatory people. This statewide coordinated strategic leadership is essential to addressing this problem. So we hope to house, I mean, the Direct Care Career Center is sort of a shortcut way of saying, you know, that we want to address all of these interrelated reasons for the shortage. We obviously have to pay direct care workers more, give them benefits and guaranteed hours, but we also have to focus on the professionalization, the culture change, and the advocacy. And we hope that the Direct Care Career Center sort of houses all of those. We will be having training, and Part Alliance has training. There are other people across the state that produce this kind of training. So there will be training, credentialing. We anticipate having a training arm, a credentialing arm, so that there's a strong firewall between them. But we want the training to happen on the local level through existing infrastructures like the Area Agencies on Aging, the senior centers, the community colleges. We, with this kind of money, we have been able to dream big and And I have more hope now than I have ever had, and we're having fun with it. We're going to be creative. You know, one of the things we hope to achieve is to establish some mental wellness programs for direct care workers. And, you know, a lot of them leave the profession because they're burned out or they have grief. You know, they are always dealing with the loss of people that they have established really strong relationships with. And there's a lot of grief. I've met a number of direct care workers who left because they just can't handle one more participant or client dying. So we want to have statewide programs that address these mental health needs of the direct care workers. We would love to do it through the arts and the humanities. We have some creative ideas. We would love to see what I'm calling community training labs all over the state, in the AAAs, in the senior centers. We have this one fun project. We're developing what I'm calling a training lab in a box, and we're hiring a couple of engineers, one engineer in particular from MSU Engineering, Manufacturing Engineering Department, and he's going to help design a prototype so that we can get to the rural areas, the really remote areas, where the people can't get to training. We're going to try to take the training to them using remote technology, but also with our lab in a box. So we're going to be able to just do things we never dreamed imaginable. And the Direct Care Career Center is going to house all of that.
This is so land grant, isn't it? This is right up our alley. And before we meet David and Jen, Claire, one more question. What is the Impart Alliance?
So Impart Alliance has its roots in many, many years of working with the state on community and partners across the entire state, conducting community-based participatory research or program development projects. We are based out of the College of Osteopathic Medicine in Family and Community Medicine. I'm the founding director. We started about 2010 with a big grant from the federal government. It was a six-state demonstration grant to develop and test a comprehensive direct care worker training program, which we did. And in Michigan, it's called Building Training, Building Quality, or BTBQ. It was all in person. And we were starting to scale it up, and COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so we have spent the last few years transferring all of these classes over to virtual, and we're piloting those now. And we are rooted in training direct care workers, but we also have gotten very, very involved in advocacy at the state level. So I always describe it as our main purpose in life here, Impart Alliance's purpose, is to help the state of Michigan build an infrastructure that will sustain, support, build the direct care workforce so we can stabilize them, make sure direct care workers are competent, they have job satisfaction, they have livable wages, they have economic security, and they have respect. So we have been... Dave, Jen, who are going to join us in a moment, we've been working together on this since 2020 when we started the statewide Direct Care Workforce Advisory Committee. So we've kind of emerged as sort of the leaders of anything related to direct care workers in the state. And I think the role we play, which is an important one, is to serve as the convener. We're the convener. We're working with hundreds of partners across the state, and I feel like it's our job to bring people together, to make these connections, to help coordinate everything I just described. So we see our role as the convener to help Michigan really raise up this workforce.
So Claire, introduce us to Jen and Dave.
Yes, these wonderful partners. Jen is sitting to my right. She's a marvelous direct care worker. She's been in this field for a very long time. She's a great spokesperson, speaks from the heart, and she is currently a direct care worker in home and community-based care, but she has been a direct care worker in every setting. And I'm going to let Jen talk for herself, And then to the right is of her is Dave LaLamia, who is the executive director of the State Area Agency on Aging Association. So the statewide association for all of the area agencies on aging. Dave is the executive director and an amazing spokesperson for direct care workers. So I'm so happy to be in partnership with these two people.
So, Jen, tell us why you like being a direct care worker and elaborate on some of the issues that Claire has been discussing.
Well, I'm a direct care worker because this is where my heart is. I have no better explanation. I took care of my grandmother when I was 14, and I kind of jumped in foot first. I didn't know what I was doing. She had cancer, and so I got sent down to New Jersey for a summer and spent the summer with my grandmother and heard a lot of beautiful stories that I would have never had, and made a really deep connection with my grandmother that I would have never gotten in any other way. And from there, I feel like God just really brought me different areas and avenues, and I wound up being a family caregiver for my mom as well for 16 years, and helped her through that battle and walked with her through that battle of dementia. And it's where my heart's always been. There's no greater joy than being a family member for somebody who has no family or somebody that their family can't be there in the moment, and to give somebody a sense of comfort, security, love, peace, all of those things. There's no more personal job than when you're right there in the trenches with somebody.
And how do you see the initiatives coming out of the grant helping you and your fellow workers?
Oh, so many ways. The state of Michigan alone, with the training that I've seen and the turnover that I've experienced myself, is just, there's such a great great need for direct care workers. I feel like a lot of people see this job as a stepping stone into something different. A lot of people go into nursing or they pursue other avenues, social work, and they just kind of use this as a temporary fix, which creates a lot of inconsistencies in care for people who receive these supports and services. There's not a lot of longevity in the workforce itself. Maybe you might get lucky if you train somebody and spend all this money and they're in it for 6 months. A lot of people, when they walk in, don't understand what they're walking into. So there's this gap in wage. So you get placed on Medicare or Medicaid or something, and not really Medicare, but for direct care workers, it's more like Medicaid. So you get in there, you've got very little money, you get trained, you go into a place, now you're losing those things, but you're not making enough to supplement. You may have insurance, you may not have insurance. The insurance is high. You have kids, you have all these expenses. I raised 3 kids doing this work. It was always a constant struggle for me. Even right now as a direct care worker, compared to what other people might make after 20 years of being in a field, it's not what it should be. This training, this infrastructure that we're building, as Impart Alliance is building, is going to change the whole face of it. It's going to provide these training avenues that have not been there before. It's going to provide, the wellness and the mental health support that we need and the livable wages that we need. The credentialing system alone is going to create that for us. And that's something that is so necessary and needed when you see all the different levels of care.
Are there some facts about caregiving that you'd like to reinforce, or maybe some myths you want to dispel?
I think that people have a big fear of being a caregiver because of the responsibility that comes with it. But a lot of times it's your outlook. It's the way that you look at the person that you're caring for. You know, you can fear them and the disease that they're living with or the disability that they're living with or even the aging process. Or you can just embrace the person that's sitting there in front of you and love them and find a way through it and embrace, I mean, really embrace it and embrace their personality and all that they've lived through. And we do not have enough value on our elderly people. I mean, just the stories and the things that they hold, the treasures that they hold. We don't get enough of that, especially in our younger generation and even in my generation. I'm 42, so I don't know. I just feel like we don't embrace it enough. It's a lot there.
Well, let's bring Dave into the conversation. And Dave, give us your thoughts on the grant, the issue itself. What are you thinking as we move through this conversation?
Well, thank you. And I'm Dave LaLamia, and I'm the director of the Area Agencies on Aging Association of Michigan. And we are very enthused about this project. We appreciate the leadership of the Impart Alliance and Claire's leadership in creating a climate in Michigan that we can finally begin to address this problem. Area Agencies on Aging provide in-home services to adults who are 60 years of age and older. And for Medicaid beneficiaries, we provide in-home supports to adults that are 18 and over. So our strength and our uniqueness is that we're able to go into the home and to provide the care that an individual needs to stay in their own home, to live in their own community, and we can't do that without a qualified, stable, trained workforce. So, you know, there's no issue more important to Area Agencies on Aging than recruiting and retaining and supporting a qualified direct care workforce. We have in some parts of the state, there are waiting lists for home and community-based services, and part of the reason for the waiting list is the inability to have enough direct care workers in place to serve everyone that needs it right now. So this is a high priority for us. We very much support the Direct Care Career Center. We think that the training is going to be exceptional. The certification process is going to be something that helps retain workers in the field and helps them see what they do more as a career rather than just a stepping stone to, you know, go to the next level. So very enthused about this project and you know, high wages and benefits, as Claire mentioned, are certainly important, but professionalizing the workforce, having career pathways, having a change in the culture around this essential workforce is really essential, and this project is bringing all of those things together.
And Claire, I know you've probably thought of some more things now, but let me ask you, what kind of resonance this is having with our legislature? What's happened so far that's good? What would you like to see happen still?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, in 2020, we formed the Direct Care Workforce Advisory Committee. Tremendous group of people. I'm honored to be part of them. And with their leadership and other people across the entire state, we have made progress in the last 3 years and 4 years. And I do feel more hopeful. I mentioned competency standards. That's one thing that we've achieved. And, you know, it's hard to train people when you don't even know what competencies to train them to, right? You start with establishing some competencies. It might surprise people to know that all of these direct care workers, 175,000, 80,000 of them, the only ones that are really credentialed through the state in Michigan are the certified nursing assistants. The rest of them, you know, they might get a certificate through a community college program or through a program like ours, but they're not credentialed in this traditional sense of having LARA have it go through LARA. So professionalizing this workforce, most direct care workers do not have a credential, and they aren't required. There are no federal competency or training requirements at all at the federal level, except for the CNAs. So it's important that we get that set up. The competency standards, we worked for 2-3 years with direct care workers and all of the stakeholders from all of the different populations served, and came up with a list of 15 direct care worker competency guidelines. We submitted those to the state senator, or Director Hertel for MDHHS, adopted them. That was a huge milestone for us. We have had a committee working for 3 years just reviewing all of the strategies other states are using, looking at the recommendations from commission studies, and we've spent several years actually coming up with 14 recommendations that we just submitted to Director Hertel again about how to address this shortage in a really strategic, sustainable way. I'm hoping we can make progress on all of those. We have created what we're calling the Essential Jobs, Essential Care Coalition, EJEC. 2020, I think we had about 50 members. We now have about 1,400, I think it is, people across the state who are just really interested in this. They have a stake in this, and they want to be part of all of this advocacy and the momentum that's being built, right? And the beauty of the coalition is that if there's some kind of legislative reform that we all believe needs to happen, we can shoot it out through that coalition, and we can tell everybody, you know, contact your legislators, and here's the messaging, because the messaging has to be consistent for it to really have an impact. And we've been able to do that. And the EJEC plus working with other groups like the Wage Coalition, for example, we've been able to get wage increases for direct care workers. And I'll give you one example that's, Michigan should be proud of this. During COVID, a lot of states raised the wages for direct care workers. You know, some a little bit, some a lot. In total, Michigan raised it $2.35 an hour. And when COVID ended, which we all know it's not really ended, but when we came out of the worst of it, a lot of the states retracted those. Michigan is the only state that not only kept it, but put it into the general fund and has since raised it. This is something we should feel really proud of. And it's a result of this kind of coordinated leadership that we've, you know, this deep network of partners that we have established. I'll say one more thing. When we first started coming together, we learned really fast that we better come up with some common language. Everybody came to this with a different, you know, calling a direct care worker different things. They go by many, many names: direct support professional, home health aide, personal care assistant, and on and on and on. Everybody calls it something different. And everybody has a different idea of what a direct care worker does. So we had to come up with some, some common language if we were going to get any work done at all. And we did. We came up with a definition of direct care workers that we all seem to be able to live with. We all seem to be able to see ourselves in there. That alone was a major milestone. And we're hoping that the state of Michigan will someday adopt that definition, because we have direct care workers in every setting possible, from, you know, job coaches in a community living setting, all the way to 24/7 personal care in a hospice setting. So all of these direct care workers need to be lifted up. And I don't know, I have a whole list of accomplishments, achievements that I think we should be really proud of. And now what we get to do is build on those.
I agree with Claire that there's support among the Michigan legislature for supporting direct care workers. And there's been a whole kind of a history of things that that have happened, including the increases in direct care worker salaries that the legislature appropriated. They also, a couple of years ago, provided a small grant that allowed the Impart Alliance to get going, to begin to address those competencies that Claire mentioned, and to put to train the trainers and put some training classes and the first certification classes out there. So these are all significant steps, and now this grant and the development of the Direct Care Career Center is a huge next step in advancing all of the goals that that have been set. But I'd agree that the Michigan legislature has stepped up, and there's certainly more to be done. But the first steps have taken place, and really want to thank our governor and legislature for their support and their work in helping with direct care workers.
So also through this whole coalition, I don't know exactly when this happened, but the Nursing Home Stabilization Committee was also formed, and this is also at the state level. And they have come together to start working on the policies and procedures and levels of care within the nursing home setting, which is really important because our skilled nursing centers are just overrun. You have somebody taking care of 10 to 15 people at one point on a day shift where you have to provide two meals, all their bathroom needs, all their showers, all their care. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're one person looking at 10 people and even one of them has dementia, oh, it's a whole, it brings it to a whole different level. And we have this whole number system in place. And this is in certain states, but there's also states that these ratios don't even exist, which just blows my mind. So there's states where there's people taking care, and I've heard this from people themselves, 40 people. How do you possibly take care of 40 people? You're not caring for them. You're getting the bare minimum done. You're not looking after their mental health. You're not looking after their physical health. You're not looking at their skin. You're not doing any of those things. You're just rushing through the work. And it's a job. It doesn't mean anything in that sense. So now the state of Michigan has come up and changed the ratios. And I am so proud of our state for this. I will throw a big shout out to the Nursing Home Stabilization Committee and all the work that they've done to change the ratios in the state. And our state is a leader in the nation of these ratios. Now we have a 1-to-8 on day shift. I don't know what the other shifts are, actually, but I know that it is a lot less than other people. And I'm on a forum on Facebook, that a group of CNAs that talk amongst us. And it's insane, some of the stories that I read and the things that people will just walk away from and feeling just overwhelmed and burned out. And this Michigan is doing a lot of creative work and just really being a leader in the nation. And I'm just very grateful for the wage increase, because that did impact my life greatly. I'm able to be in my own place. I'm able to have a sustainable wage that I didn't have before, that has been able to boost my confidence and my life and give me quality of life that I did not have before.
So great to hear. And let me ask you to make your pitch to others looking for a career. You find this one very rewarding. What would you say to others considering direct care work?
There's no greater joy that I take in being able to walk into someone's home and change their whole outlook and change their whole perspective and give them a love and a peace of mind that they would never have otherwise, or even in a nursing home where it seems like such a down setting. If you just walk in there with a smile, like, you change somebody's whole day just with a smile. I mean, the fear and the stigmas, we need to get rid of those, because there's such a profound peace and joy and love that is created in a direct care worker when you put yourself out there for other people.
Yes. First of all, thank you for this opportunity. And I concur with Dave. Thank you to all of our partners across the state. Thank you to MDHHS, our partners there, to the governor, to everybody that's been involved. I do want to riff off of Jen just for a moment. Why would anybody want to do this job? The joy, the mission. I don't know how many people say it's their calling in life. But it also is a great way to enter into healthcare. If you have an interest in health, a career in healthcare, this is a great entry point. It can lead to a whole career in healthcare. It takes skills that not everybody has, and important skills, you know, and we have to change the language. People are still calling it unskilled, non-skilled. It is anything but. It takes special skills that only you might have. It offers some flexibility in schedule. We know a lot of direct care workers who are able to schedule around their childcare needs or their college classes. So it also allows you to be part of this amazing, positive, exciting movement that we have started. So it's a great time to, I think, check into what it means to be a direct care worker and, you know, assess if you want to be a part of it or not. And then you asked about next steps,
yes.
Right? So we have a lot of work to do. This is a long road we're on. And so we have long-term goals and short-term goals because we understand people need the help now, right? So we're trying to balance the long and the short-term goals. Jen mentioned the Nursing Home Stabilization Work Group. They had a set of recommendations. There's a great group within DHHS called the Workforce Healthcare Workforce Steering Committee. They have a set of recommendations. We have a set of recommendations. So when we met with Director Hertel, we all agreed that the next step would be to get the leadership from those three groups together and figure out how we can work together to stay coordinated, because so many of our goals really are aligned to one another's, you know, they map to each other's. And so if we continue to work together and coordinate everything we're doing, we're going to be able to help all of the settings and all of the direct care workers across the state and all of the people that they're getting, you know, that are getting their support. So in the end, it's really about quality care for the people who need supports and services, right? And if you want quality of care, you have to have quality help. So, you know, there's an old slogan, better jobs, better care. And that's kind of what it boils down to.
If there are people listening to this podcast that are interested in a job and a career, I would highly recommend they're checking out becoming a direct care worker. Direct care workers have always had rewarding job experiences, but now we're adding improved wages and benefits, we're adding training, we're adding career pathways and certification programs, and this, I think, is becoming truly a career path for people that that will continue to be rewarding, and we would just invite you to think about becoming a direct care worker.
For more, visit impartalliance.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.